This episode of Cubs Out Loud, Gary and Damon are joined by the Cubs, Rich and Vince, and a gang of guests at Lexington, Kentucky. This is the second of three episodes from the North American Bear Weekend Bear Run, and as the guys get together later that night, the discussion focuses on Mr. North American Bear Contest. Sit back and get ready to listen as COL 304 starts now.
Hey guys, Gary here from the host of Cubs Out Loud. Before we get into the second of three episodes from the Kentucky Run, I want to apologize to everybody that unfortunately when we recorded this episode and the next episode portion, I had my cell phone next to the recording equipment. So throughout the episode, you'll hear some clicks and buzzes. I reduced them as much as I could in editing, but I want to apologize in advance in case you're wondering what all that is about. And also, there's a couple of times it may seem that the audio jumps a little, and that's just due to the fact that it was too much to try to edit out. So, lesson learned for the future episodes, but I hope that you enjoy listening to the show.
I should probably stop feeding him alcohol.
Yes, you probably should, since I gave him a drink. So, if you two wouldn't mind decoupling.
Damn.
No.
What?
No. He wants to watch.
We can be one voice.
What, we're going to be getting sick in a hurry.
Speaking of Jeff Dunham and his puppet, it was like,
oh,
I kill you!
No, the idea, I think, and I will like, since it's his equipment, I will let Gary kind of lead the way.
Gary gets to pick.
Are you?
Okay.
So we're back.
I just want to get loose.
Not yet.
We are.
Okay. Oh, we are.
Yeah.
I don't know how long have we been
Gary's
back.
Gary's been recording.
Yeah, how long have we been back?
Not too long.
No, not too long. It is now over 7 hours since we took break.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And in that amount of time, a lot of shit has happened.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, we've got a lot of people in this fucking room.
Hi.
Hey, girl. Hey.
So...
Timber!
So I guess we're going to do like a Disney Musketeer roll call.
Okay, yeah.
So for those...
roll call! Anyway.
Something I rolled enough question. To remember that.
Yeah, well...
I'm getting there. No, bullshit.
Okay.
So yeah, there's obviously me, Gary, as one of the hosts.
And Damon.
Mr. Damon.
Yes. And we have Rich and Vince.
That was backwards.
I know.
The people on the podcast can't tell.
Yeah, Jesus, does it matter?
Yes.
Vince and Rince.
Secret camera. Rich and Rince. There you go. Vince and Rince are joining
and
us
repeat.
Today.
Sounds like and repeat.
Yes. And repeat. Oh,
no! Slow. Alcohol involved.
And the other voice you can hear is Chess.
Hi, everybody.
One of our other recurring guests.
Returning?
Oh my god!
This is my return guest.
Somebody needs even more alcohol.
Lord knows he needs it. We need to liquor him up to the point where he becomes sober.
He's like, bitch, that's shade tree.
No, you want to know what shade
that's
tree?
That's shade, no.
With enough alcohol, Damon will turn white.
Oh, wow.
I'm a potential red flag. So
does he become the unreduced ethnic?
Yes! We will turn
all
him
less.
From a reduced ethnic into an expensive exotic ethnic. Okay. And on that slightly racist overtone. No, not even slightly racist. That
extremely
fucking racist overtone.
And we were where
was not even in this place.
Is this one going to go longer than the Orlando one that went on for...
Got
a marathon.
It is so racist. It is like some plane of Dante's Inferno.
Now resuming roll call.
Yes. So we've got.
Oh hey, I'm here.
We've got Matt Fuzzbutt, another recurring guest, and here is
Brennan
from
Louisville,
Yay.
Kentucky. Yay. Like the majority of other people.
And then
You've been on the show before.
Yes, I've been on from the Orlando Gay Days one. My name is Ron.
We know that bit.
Three episodes.
A.K.A. Rose.
Rose.
Just because I live in the Golden Girls house and can be flighty at times. I mean, I'm Rose.
And lost your keys in the middle of Walmart.
Oh, shit.
You were supposed to mention that.
At times.
That was recorded for on the internet.
Start sucking on his face again.
100%.
All
right.
So. All
right.
We went to dinner.
Yes.
Ooh, girl.
We had fancy dinner.
Fancy.
As someone who sat next to me said, I thought there was a wedding. They were greatly confused by china and candles. They were not prepared for that.
It is Kentucky.
Which, to be honest, Adam and his crew do a great job, but all the food has been in the summit room upstairs, and it's all been like kind of fast food style. Yeah. Served, you know, get a plate, travel through, yeah. As opposed to here.
Yeah.
Dinner was a,
Sit down.
Well, first of all, pick a table.
Pick a table.
Get a seat. Sit down with a cloth napkin that's, you know,
cloth.
Been folded and nicely presented. And two forks, knife and spoon. So people were thrown off by that.
Oh, damn. Salad. He's like, salad, fork,
why are there
and
two forks?
There's a salad fork and a normal fork.
And very nice presented, like, little pads of butter that look like flowers. People were not sure what that was either. It was making me laugh.
Damn.
I was
there were actually two patterns.
There were.
Oh, wow.
It reminded me of pre-Bear Fest asshole and post-Bear Fest asshole.
Oh, wow.
And...
That being said,
on that
at least they didn't have the butthole chocolates.
It'll be known to all the viewers.
Yeah.
Damon passed out his shade cards for everyone to get a freebie. And you get free shade. And you get free shade. Everyone gets free shade. All right.
What do we appropriately name the shade of Oprah?
Exactly.
Oh. Oprah. And Oprah.
Okay, so dinner was nice. It was a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to, but it was considered a banquet, and I know with Utter Bear Runes, it depends on what you get. And it depends on how much money they want to put into the meal.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think they did a good with variety in that. The only thing that happened that I winced at was the assigning of who goes to get food.
Oh.
If you didn't catch that, it was start serving the food, and then tables all over the room just started standing up and getting in these big massive lines to go through, and I was like, oh, wow. It was a very organized, quiet stampede.
Okay. Pete Nut Gallery.
Pete Nut Gallery.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But no, it was. It was really good. And then we had an hour of announcements and
the
raffle.
Okay.
The big raffle prize giveaway.
Okay, hold on. But let me talk about the mega raffle for a second.
Okay.
Because
wait. Here, let me give you the pulpit, because I'm sure going to get a sermon out of this.
Okay. Yes.
Praise.
Yes. There will be a bit of a sermon because. There are certain ways to do things that make it efficient. First thing they should have done, and this is my number one rule, the mega raffle, according to this, the last time you should have been able to buy tickets was 5 p.m. today.
Oh.
There should not, and I will probably mention this in my
feedback,
you should not sell tickets right then and there. I know you're going to be... You're raising money for charity, and it's for the freaking children, and blah, 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 blah. But at a certain point, you've got to realize you need to stop selling tickets. Or else, because what ended up happening was you had all these people last minute putting their tickets in baskets, and it just kept things going. It took forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It postponed the beginning of the pulling of the numbers and then continuing on from there.
Although I will say that process of it was slightly less than last year.
It was better than last year.
Yes.
Now, my question to that, though, is, and this is not shade, this is something that happened.
Yeah.
Do we think it went faster because they were minus four baskets?
It might have been.
Because,
unfortunately...
The process
seemed very similar to last year. So
yeah.
I
don't know.
I think the process change would be.
Yeah, the time seemed less, but I wonder if part of that was because, unfortunately, which will probably be discussed at some later point, yeah. I imagine, or at least I would hope that Adam and them provide a follow-up at some time, that unfortunately, during the course of this weekend, several baskets apparently were taken.
Yes.
And that was bad. In fact, I did talk to Miss Tammy afterwards about the fact that stuff came up missing.
They reappeared, though, after his messages went out.
One of them reappeared.
Most valuable one, I think.
Yeah, and I will not own this. I will say this. I understand wanting to keep everything out and everything presented for people to see and enjoy.
Correct.
But last year, and granted, yes, the run has grown.
Correct.
Last year, all the raffle baskets were in a room that you had to open a door in order to get to. This year, the raffle prizes were out in the, I would call it the courtyard, where the pool was, where everyone is passing by.
Correct.
Everyone. And that includes...
All times of the day.
Yeah, all times of the day. And that includes, I believe, the people that could have been going to the bar. Mm-hmm. The Bogart's Bar.
It was right next to an external unlocked door.
Yeah,
correct.
Anybody could have walked in off the street.
Two doors within 40 feet and you're outside the building.
Yeah.
I talked to Adam today and he's working on plans to have a secure room next year.
He wants to put it in the vendor area.
And he would have to reduce the number of vendors available.
Yeah.
And would be able to put it in the locked and move the registration into the locked area also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, and that was a real down point out of the whole weekend, was getting the thing on their app that said, which is classic Adam, Southern Hospitality, if someone could please return the borrowed, air quotes, like, you know, gift baskets or, you know, auction baskets.
It saved you the time of going through the surveillance cameras.
Yeah, not pulling the hotel security footage so we can prosecute you. That would be appreciated. Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's a lot classier than what I would have said. Because at my event, I would have been like, somebody done took some stuff, and now I'm mad.
I don't think I would have said anything. I would have probably looked at the security tape and found out who it was and been like,
just walk down.
You need to leave in the hands of these nice gentlemen here, our gentle ladies.
Yes. And the handcuffs are not for fun.
How many times are a security tape, is it really there?
But I
was there?
We don't know. We have to trust person, that there would be.
If there was security, if it was there, if there was actual, if there was someone that could have potentially been prosecuted.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the one, I think. I think that was the one downside to this weekend that was unfortunate. But as I mentioned, Miss Tammy was here for the contest and the dinner tonight. I talked to her briefly. She said something she said, this is different and unfortunate. She says, leather events I go to, I can leave my personables on a table, be gone for a long time, come back, and no one touches a thing.
Yeah.
She says it's an incredibly secure environment. Then I said, I feel bad that I've never had that experience in my life. I've never been a place where I think I can just leave stuff for so long a time and come back and no one's going to touch it.
Yes, that's my experience as well. I left my tablet and my phone sitting on a table in the atrium at the last GLOA.
Yeah.
And nobody bothered it.
And I said, you know, it's good to hear that, but also disappointing because that's the way it should be universally, as opposed to, not being able to trust people and thinking shit can happen.
And I know it's been a pretty open environment this weekend and whatnot, and people are pretty friendly. But at the same time, you do have to prepare for those potential issues that could come up. Theft is one of them. There are other things that could potentially go wrong.
And I mean, it could have been a drunken prank. It could have been anything. It could have been.
And I think that could have been Adam's hope when he sent out the post.
Yeah.
Because the way I read it was like, all right, bitches, I'm going to give you one opportunity to stop the shenanigan moment and, like, own up to the goof that you took, like, the cask of the keg of whiskey, you know, whatever. And,
ha
and
ha, that. Funny, funny. Let's get back to reality.
So, that was the only thing. So my point in bringing that up was, I wondered, as we were saying, it seemed to go a little quicker, as if you're missing four items, would that have been the amount of time that it was taking? I don't know.
Maybe.
it did seem to be very similar to last year, where there was a lot of repetition of calling the numbers and waiting to see if anybody
had
the
ticket.
That's
one thing I want to say. That's the next thing I wanted to mention as I get back on my pulpit. Okay.
Soapbox.
Yes.
Soapbox. Here you go.
Three times. That's it. Number once, repeat it. Give it a couple of minutes, repeat it again. If no one claims it at that point, they either not there, they are not paying attention, and then they fail to get their prize. I'm sorry.
Right.
If I've called a number three times and you haven't responded,
they're not there. Yeah.
Right, and I agree with you. You could call it once, call it a second time, move on to the next thing, and give the person, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever to come claim it if, like, for some reason no one heard it. Mm-hmm. And if no one comes to the front, then you pull it back up and say, okay, package number 12 did not go, the person's not here, let's draw it again. You know what I mean? And just kind of keep running through that.
Yeah, keep things going. Especially in an event where you've got a ton of people and a lot of people are conversating and have their own personal shit going on.
That was the other thing tonight that started to bother me, being a person who's put on an event. At one point, they were trying to do the stalling for the contest for the points tallying. And I was like, oh my God, this is important stuff they're trying to talk about, and two-thirds of this room ain't given no shits. No fucks given.
No fucks given.
They're not paying attention. Like,
the heels are alive.
With the sound of flops.
With the sound of...
As a contestant who got basically put in the back of the room during all of that, and having to try and listen to what they're saying, because, you know, we don't know when they're going to start announcing results and all that stuff, being put in the back of the room where most of the chitter chatter was going on, people were way too lit up, didn't care, and were just loud and
honey,
not paying attention.
I love
at
your
all.
Folks from Louisville, but they need to shut the fuck up.
Girl, tell me about it, okay?
I'm sorry. Jeez. But
I love them all to death, I really do, but they do not know how to handle their alcohol.
Apparently,
and bartenders.
Apparently. Because it was just one of these things where it was just like, and I mean, I am glad that you're happy that people from your community are being represented in this contest or in your event or whatever, but you don't need to be all hooping and hollering and shit. This ain't your child's graduation. It ain't that.
I'm so proud of my little boy.
Yeah.
He's so grown up.
And that was something that was interesting to me, that I know that's a part of the judging concept, like how the audience reacts to stuff. But then I got a little irritated only because I was like, well, that's not fair to the people that traveled to get here. That people who are local have the benefit of a 45-minute or an hour to two-hour drive, and there's 20 of them versus your one table of three friends maybe that came with you.
Yeah.
And so that party in the back is screaming and hooting and hollering because you're the hometown boy, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And I realize that, like, nothing's going to come out of what I'm saying. But the point is like, I sat there and I was like, well, that's kind of shitty.
It's how, it's
do you know what I mean? Like, this person traveled all the way from wherever to come here,
like,
and they don't quite get the same...
Right. And it was...
Decibel factor.
Why at, like, graduations nowadays, they, like, don't...
Mm-hmm.
Be all congratulatory for your... Yeah,
it's always hold it till the very end.
Granted, people don't listen, which don't is the case, but, you know.
True. Very true. And it was a long contest, because they had 17 contestants.
17. We have two in here.
Yay!
Yay!
So both Fuzz...
Plus to the end.
Fuzz Butt and... Burn. Fuzzbutt and Chess both were contestants, and you guys were back to back numerically.
Yeah, it was actually really weird because when we drew numbers, it was all random. There were actually six folks from the Derby City Bears group in the contest. We were hugely represented, and we all drew numerically sequential numbers except for one.
Wow.
There was one person who was number two, and then we had 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
And I will say that I was sitting right next to him when we drew numbers, and I drew first and drew 10, And as soon as I saw that he pulled 9, the first words out of my mouth were, oh, shit, are you kidding me? Because I knew that I was going to have to follow him on stage, and having to follow that on stage.
Every single round.
An easy feat, let me tell you.
No, I will, yeah, it was really weird. Like, it's just like, oh, and here's number 9, and here's number 10. And it was like, oh, yeah, yeah, and then, yay!
Thanks. Yay. I get less enthusiastic.
No, yay. It was just.
It's like I just clapped. Keep clapping.
Hold your applause till the end.
But yeah, it was a really. I will. Okay. Given that there were 17 contestants, how do we feel the timing and speed? From your end and from us as an audience.
Yeah, why don't we start with the contestants since it's just the two of them.
Yes.
I felt like we were fairly well managed, like in terms of like wrangling and herding us around as a group. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of hang-ups and delays. Some of the quick changes were a little quick in terms of us getting changed out of stuff, but by and large, they did a really good job of not only instructing us on what to do, and telling us when we could do it. I think probably the only places that there was a little bit of confusion when it came to ticket sales, like when people were allowed to sell the tickets for the 50-50 raffle, mm-hmm. there was some confusion about some people started selling way before we were listed to be showing up to sell tickets. Mm. And then there was also some confusion about whether or not our ticket sales were going to be actually counted in our scoring. Mm. That was one thing got said during our orientation, and then something else got said tonight, and so that was a little bit of confusion. But other than those two relatively minor things, I think that the way that they handled us as contestants, from our perspective, was really, really good. Clearly, Scott, the guy who was running it, knew what the fuck he was doing, and it went off generally without a hitch.
That's right.
I think that... I do agree. Scott did a fantastic job, and I cannot thank him enough for doing what basically had to amount to herding cats for the entire weekend. Yeah, he was amazing. Cats.
And wrangling egos.
Yes.
I think that my
comment, not even necessarily complaint, about timing issues with the contestants was during the interviews. Interviews were scheduled between 1 and 4. I mean, we all showed up for interviews, and then he said, if you're not 1 through 5, go away. Come back in an hour. So I went and I got in the pool, and the next thing I know, someone's coming chasing me down saying, hey, they went really, really fast. You're up in, like, 2 people. And so I walked into my judge's interview still wearing my Speedo under my shorts that had since leaked through, and it looked like I had pissed myself. Which I was thankfully able to play off because I'm witty as shit and awesome, but it was just kind of like, oh, okay, I don't have as much time as I had been told that I had to get this stuff done.
Yeah. And I like that they, as that, granted, I would have preferred that they had told you earlier. Yeah. What they should have done is, we have 17 contestants. We need contestants 1 through 6, we need contestants 7 through 10 or whatever here.
Right.
Yeah. That way you guys knew.
Be here.
Now, they could have built in the breaks for the.
Yeah.
They could have timed it and said, one interview lasts 10 minutes, period. Do you know what I mean? And then like a 5-minute break in between, and then in the course of an hour, they could have gotten cranked out, 4?
Yeah.
And they just kept moving. Yeah. And then you would have known, okay, I'm not due to be there till 12th or 15th.
Yeah.
And then you could go sell tickets or do whatever it is you need to.
I think
that
was originally how it was designed. It just didn't get executed that way.
Oh, well.
But, you know.
Things change.
But, I mean, I think overall it was executed really well. I think that they did a great job managing over double the amount of contestants they've ever had in this contest.
This was
8 last year.
Yeah.
17 this year.
Yeah. It was a lot of contestants. And I'm happy that the event is drawing that attention from, you know, across the country. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've yet gotten a Mexican or Canadian yet. I don't know, but
we had a British judge.
Well, yeah, but you're correct. There hasn't been any
probably outside the continental United States.
Yeah. Does there come a point limit to number?
That was the thought that just crossed my mind, yeah. And that's where I think it will get very interesting when they have to officially make a policy about that.
Yeah.
And what I think might happen is it goes from bar titles to like a region, district, / state. Like, has to be the requirement.
It could
potentially
be,
just a bar may not be good enough as a title to
I
become.
I think something that would limit it a little more possibly equally as effectively, is this year the range was any title basically within the last 5 years. And
oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was.
I thought everybody was a title holder from 2014.
Any bear or leather title?
Any bear or leather title from
in the last 5 years.
It was pretty broad. Yeah, it was
it was pretty wide open.
That's been, I know that's been their policy for, I think, since the beginning.
Yeah.
And because I was most huggable bear, which was the Midwest Bear Contest back in 2008.
Well,
and
my title daddy.
Yeah. and your husband is too.
I know.
But, but when they first started, Adam was messaging and contacting me, asking me, like, do you want to do the contest? Because, you know, I had won a title, and he knew I had won a title. And he was like, well, I don't know, and I hate to say it, February is a really weird month sometimes for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, sure. But by the time I've realized that, oh, I could do it, I was outside of the realm. But it's 5 years.
Right.
So those are things that they could possibly work on to limit. Either
right.
Shorten the amount, the length time that they can pick a contest. You can have it just that year. You have to have won it within a year.
I think that would be an interesting experiment if they, for next year, they say anybody that earned a title in 2014 till NAB 2015 or 2016. Do you know what I mean? So like, if anybody wins a title as of Monday, March 2nd, they're in for the coming year. Do you know what I mean? All the way up through like the Wednesday of the week of the run or whatever. Just make some calendar dates and be like, you fall in this range, you're in.
That's another interesting thing is we were originally told there were 15 of us.
Right. I had originally heard 15 and then I think on Thursday or Friday I heard 16 and then today I heard 17 and I'm like, whoa, like how did that all happen?
15 of us made it into the program and then like at dinner because Daddy and I got here Wednesday night, and at dinner Wednesday night, I overheard Adam talking, and somebody's paperwork had gotten screwed up and never come in, and there was all of a sudden a 16th. And then at orientation on Thursday, Thursday or Friday, there was all of a sudden a 17th, and it's like, oh, okay, just keep expanding and keep expanding. Which is, I mean, it's good for them, it's great for them, but at the same time, there comes a point when you have to cap it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of say no more at this time. I mean, it's kind of like last call at the bar.
Yeah.
There comes a point where you're like, you're not letting anybody else in the door. Like,
no.
We're about to wrap up, we're done, or, you know, this is going to conclude.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really interesting. I think for 17, it ran quick.
Yeah.
I was dreading that this was the contest that never ends.
They actually trimmed a lot of the things that they had originally, like, there was a lot more content to our applications that they were supposed to read, you know, some about our personal history and our hobbies and likes and other things that they've done, that all that got trimmed out because they're like, there's no way in hell we're going to be able to read
and
all this.
Well, that's the thing from my experience. It was like that in Indianapolis. That's the last one I've been to where they had a contest like this where they had a lot of contestants, too. It was trying to keep everyone in the audience, keep their attention the whole time because people were starting to get disinterested and either leave or get disinterested and get loud. And that was probably the biggest thing because I got a couple of text messages during the things saying, you know, what are you doing afterwards? I'm ready for this to be over. And I kind of agree there. And I know that if you contestants, you needed the time, obviously, to transition, but that's the challenge of trying to keep the audience engaged the whole time. And some of the stuff they tried was nice, but
well, you know, I don't think any of us ever really had an issue getting our changes taken care of and getting done. We knew there was some sort of a time crunch, but really, most of us were waiting backstage and ready to go on.
Yeah,
and I think the biggest issue was the biggest costume change issue we had was John Armitage, who won Chaser.
Hunter.
Bear Hunter.
Chaser, whatever. Hunter. but he from Derby City Bears, and he won Hunter. the costume that he did for his fantasy, the Elder, the rip away pants. He had never ripped them away before. And so he didn't know if they were going to work. And that was the longest, most involved change we had, because I had to help him get into that and get out of it and get the boots on under it and everything. But we were all lined up and waiting in the back of the room for that portion to start.
Yeah. That is a sign of a good contest being run, where you guys have time.
Yeah. You know, another thing I was thinking, listening to you, I've been in a number of contests myself over time, and how did you guys feel and the audience doesn't normally notice this, how was the backstage camaraderie of the contestants?
It was fantastic.
It was good.
It was great. I will say, out of the 17 contestants, 6 of us come from either from the Louisville area or representing the Louisville area, but even the ones who aren't, I feel like I really connected with a lot of the contestants and got to know a lot of the contestants really well and made a lot of new friends.
And the fact that you just mentioned you were helping each other with...
Yeah, we were all helping each other. The gentleman who won Cub, Brandon...
We went and fetched his pass.
I ran and fetched his pass because his outfit for his fantasy wear really wasn't conducive for him traveling quickly.
I helped him get dressed. He had kind of like a weird loincloth on.
We helped each other into our clothes and checked each other and made sure that we were ready to go on stage. And that's something that I'm really proud of this class of contestants for, is we all did really well, and we all competed well, and we all had this sense of, we're here to do it, we're here to have fun, and we're here to enjoy ourselves and represent our community. There are gentlemen who traveled all the way from Texas,
New York,
representing TBRU, New York, Atlanta, Virginia, and even if I didn't get to spend a lot of time getting to know all of them, we're all kind of connected because we really did. There wasn't any of the cattiness or the we were all competitive. I mean, we all of course wanted to win, but there wasn't any of the drama, the backstage bullshit.
And it's weird, and it sounds weird, but especially contests I've known recently, especially within the last like 5-10 years, leather contests, bear contests, oftentimes I get that. Like, people are taking, like, we were friendly, we were brothers. There's not that bitchiness and cattiness. Now, it might be after fact, but, during the contest, you kind of create that bond, and you help each other out. And the only way that works is if you actually do it. Now, if you stand off and you're like, I'm not going to help anybody, you might be seen as a bitch. But
right. Well, and I mean, I'll use this as an example. I competed in 2 contests before I earned my title to compete here. I competed for Derby City Cub, and then I competed for Midwest Bear. And finally, I won at Midwest Bear. In this contest, there were at least 2 people that I've competed against previously. And either beat or didn't beat. That's a recipe for tension right there.
Yeah.
The gentleman who beat me for Derby City Cub, I was running against, technically. That's a really big recipe for tension. And, after the contest, I went up to him and was like, we did great. That's all there was to say, was we did great.
Yeah.
We rocked it. We represented Louisville. Mm-hmm. We represented Ben, who I competed against in Midwest. Was running his 501 Bear in Midwest Cub. That's all there was to say. There wasn't this, I hope I beat you. There wasn't this, I have something to prove because you beat me here.
Or even the fake, love your hair, hope you win.
Right. It was we did great. We went out, we repped our people, we repped our community, and we rock. Because that's what I felt a lot of this contest was about, was instead of, I'm the prettiest bitch, it was let's rep the community.
Yeah. I'm not gonna backstab you, and oh look, you're gonna have a malfunction. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, malfunction.
Who the hell cut my wig?
Yes.
It's not. I was so worried about malfunctions. Oh my god.
It's not. Oh, I hope you break a leg. No, seriously, break
Rex,
your leg.
Rex, I was impressed with Rex's little video.
That was awesome.
That was a little touching. I almost got a little verklempt there.
Yes, that was awesome.
I teared up a little bit.
This is my second run. One that I actually, my first to actually be engaged as a guest, and just the way that it was set up was very emotionally
charge.
Yeah, it's they did a good job of right off the get go bringing everybody together, and that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. In regards to
really respect that.
In regards to Rex, I approached him afterwards because I one of the things I liked about his video was he's one of the first bear contest winners that I have seen actually go out and do things in the community.
Exactly.
Not saying you guys don't, but I'm just saying he's the first one I've seen that I saw online going and doing events and going out to events and representing his community and his title.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And in doing that, I told him that. I'm like, you're one of the first I've ever seen do this. And he was very humbled by it.
He's most definitely, I mean, he's an inspiration for me with my title. You know, huge hats off to him and congratulations to Dan, but Dan has some huge shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Rex has done an absolutely amazing job with his title, and I could not be prouder to have somebody like him representing our community.
That was the thing I was worried about this year, whoever won. Knowing the two of you were in the competition, it was a concern of mine that if either of you won the Mr. North American Bear title, no matter who, if I knew the person, to know what Rex has done, because that's the yardstick of measurement for for at least 1 year. If not 2 years out, people are going to be like, look at everything that Rex did of the year, which I'm glad he did the video as a recap of what he did, because there's a lot of people at this run that don't know about title circuit, they don't understand what that works about, and they have no clue who this man is that's up there that's talking, especially if they weren't here last year.
Right. Yeah.
They don't know that he won last year, so that's why he's the MC of the event and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, he has amazing skills and talents that come from his corporate job, the work that he does, his background that kind of played it all together well for him.
Right.
So he was able to present himself in a professional capacity, but in a casual environment, and say, these are the things I've done, I've made a video, so on and so forth, and like be able to talk through the stuff. And I think a part of the speed of what happened was because Rex was just like flying through the binder, including the little hiccup in the beginning, which cracked my ass up to no end. Adam got, whoever printed the stuff had a misnumbered, and even he caught it because he was like, nine, 10, 11. Like, you know, ripping pages out and stuff. Yeah, I thought that was funny.
That stuff actually didn't print.
Yeah.
It did not. Our information originally did not download and print and was not in their hands Friday night for introductions, and they were scrambling and asking us information. And
we got to write it all down.
We had to redo a lot of that. But no, you know, going back to the yardstick, one of the things that they asked us in the interviews was, what will you do to represent this title? You know, it's about traveling. And I'll be completely honest, I name dropped a little bit to Gary. I was like, I know, you know, I have connections with people who do other runs, and I already have plans to hopefully attend other runs. And it's about making events and getting your name out. And
did you drop Gary's name up in that?
I dropped a drenched fur's name. I dropped a drenched fur's name. I did not drop Gary's name specifically.
Which is the proper answer. My name means nothing to the judges. The run name might mean something to the judges.
Gary Snyder. Gary Snyder. Let's see. Where does that come up here in the Encyclopedia Britannica? He is.
Who?
Was that Jackson?
Human nature that Rex approaches things with. He did a lot in the year, and it's going to be hard to fill his shoes. But even this evening, he came up to me and apologized that he didn't get enough time to make it to Drenched Fur during his title. And he was very humble about it and very, you know, that's very hard to follow. Mm-hmm. And it'll be a big challenge for the new person.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, like showing the video and like all the work he did with Bear World Magazine for David and just all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, like, and the ESPN thing I knew nothing about. Yeah, I was glad he mentioned it.
I loved how he
gave the nod to David as the editor-in-chief and said, because of you and the work I was doing with you, I got this other thing. And I was like, and which I thought was awesome about how they did that. And then they gave the recognition award, and that I liked the legacy point that the title holder that's stepping down recognizes someone for things they have done for them personally or how that works, and then giving them that recognition. I could tell David was caught off by guard by that a little bit, like he wasn't expecting it. But they also, I also noticed that Rex was caught off guard by his recognition, for the work that he's done in the past year and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I thought overall that it did really go well. I felt bad for them though as an organizer to see how the whole thing just suddenly kind of like goes askew like a missile off into its own atmosphere because there was this whole, we have to keep tabulating, tabulating and retabulating. And it's like, and it was funny because the first time it happened, I was like, vamp.
Bam!
I was like, just
bring me back on stage, we're good.
Right, and I'm like, oh, this will be really fun. And they did really well for quite a while, but then the steam started to run out bad, and that's when I noticed how loud the room started to get. Yeah. And I was like, this is not looking good for anybody, because my concern is like, you want the attention where it should be placed. And if that's not working, then I see people just getting up and leaving and going out of the room and going smoking, going to the pool, like whatever. And the whole thing just kind of like starts to, you know.
As a tally master who has done this before several times, the issues that I know were an issue for their tally master, one, there were 17 contestants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And no matter how fast you can type, no matter how quick you can look at things, that's just... It's just going to take a while to put that in and get that all in there. So, two, I don't know what she did to tabulate it. I use an Excel program that calculates everything like that. So once I get the numbers in, I go to a sheet at the end and it has everything. And all I have to do is figure out who had the highest number and go from there. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know what she was using, but I have a feeling part of that was... there was a slower process on her, after, no offense to her, but there's probably a slower process on her end. Either it was how she was doing things or how she was getting the final numbers.
Well, and notably, I think there were, five judges times 17 contestants.
Yes.
One round alone is what, 85
marks.
Yes. Right, tracked points that have to be totaled and put together.
And the final thing I will say I would want to know is, what were they scoring? Was it just like a one digit? Like, you get 100 points out of 150. You get 125 out of 150. And for each category, there were three categories. No, there was interviews, barware,
fantasy. Five total.
Five categories?
Yeah. There were five total that we were judged on.
Right. So then times that by five. Oh, shit.
That's 425.
It was super, I mean, it. Mad respect to them, and judges, like, and
425.
And if you paid attention, figure out something happened, because at one point, Adam or whoever said, we need judges 4 and 5 to go talk to the person who's doing the tally. Which said to me, something about the paper process they were doing. There was question marks. Yeah. Like, was it hashtags? Was it circle a number? Like, is it questionable because maybe they put down 3.5 not knowing that half points aren't allowed? Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it was, I noticed. And it went pretty quickly at that point to get it resolved, whatever it was. But I was like, you know. Yeah. But as an audience member, we're like, tick, tick, tick,
and that's the worst thing that sucked for a contest is... If that tally master doesn't get things done quickly, you're going to have to vamp. Because you can't end the contest without determining who wins.
Right. And I thought Scott did a great job of trying to keep...
Yeah.
Doing his best to try and keep people's attention with asking the judges the truth questions.
Yes.
But you also kind of have to take into account in that equation the fact that they have to assign the runner-up titles. You know, they not only have to find out who the top five were, but then figure out, you know, who they're going to give the cub title, who they're going to give the daddy bear, the muscle bear, and the hunter title.
That was the one thing that I've always been confused about with this particular contest. Apparently, the top five winners win a title.
Correct.
And then whoever is the number one wins the North American bear title.
Correct.
Right. Correct. And I thought it was...
Which is considered, quote-unquote, the daddy of all the titles.
Yes, right.
You know, so to
that's
speak.
That's the winner title.
The grand poobah. Yeah. But I was explaining to Peter, I said, the interesting thing is you have the other remaining four, and then from there, the judges determine who gets what title, and it's all about, you're just the top, like, your place is 2 through 5, but we don't call them that. We assign you a different title. And I like the way they did it, because, was his name John that got Bear Hunter?
Yes.
Which, so, the naming... matched the person, like, and their, like, personality and that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, good. Like, this
it's
all
part of the application process. They actually ask us how we identify.
Oh,
and
okay.
So those are kind of like your options for what other title you might be winning. You know?
Interesting.
If you're one of those who are in the two through five spot.
So
well, it's good to know that, and I kind of wish they had explained that a little on the mic while they were vamping, to say that as you go through the application process, you realize you're running for technically one of two titles. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? If you don't get this title, then which other title category are you thinking you most align with, or whatever?
It's plural. It can be more than one.
Am I correct in remembering, sir, and I might not be, that the only thing that you selected when you filled out your application was bear? I don't...
Me?
Yes.
No, I think I filled out more than just bear. I can look.
Okay. Because I thought that we had had that conversation. I could be completely wrong.
I think I filled out more than... I'll double check. I've still got the email.
The point is that they assign the other four titles. Yeah. And I think those that were given those four titles, it matches... It made sense. I don't think there was any, like... I don't think you looked at a room full of people that just kind of did a 45-degree cocktail and was like, what? Like, like, why is the man with the ZZ Top beard being called the Bear Hunter? Do you know what I mean? Right. Or something where, like, it just doesn't align. I think the way it presented, it did work out in that favor. And that was great, you know? And I thought that part of it went really, really well.
I will admit to tell their audience that. Because I think out of... everyone that was like at my table and people I heard afterwards, that was the most confusing thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought you guys ran for, I'm going to go for Midwest or North American Cub.
I thought that all the way up until December when I ran for Midwest.
All the way
up until December when Rex and Cody, who was the current was the North American Cub for 2014. Mm-hmm. Were our MCs at Midwest. Yeah. And they explained that to us at Midwest, and I completely agree with you. I thought that it was you ran for a specific thing, because I would have run for Cub if he ran for a specific thing, and I wouldn't have had to have, you know, worried about competing against Daddy the entire weekend.
Yeah, actually, I just pulled up my application. I didn't. I listed myself. It says, I would classify myself as one or more of the following. Check all that apply, and the two that I have checked are Bear and Muscle Bear.
Okay. I was just curious. Interesting.
And as someone who's never even watched a contest before, seeing them just assign people to things, I was like, shouldn't you run for a category?
Yeah.
Then they assign them, like, well, I mean, they assign the right people to the right category, I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
But not seeing, like, this group is for this is for that. But then again, that would make the contest huge.
It would be much longer.
They probably could have done it, I think, if they wanted to make that kind of something that was more clear to the audience. They could have either printed something about it in the program and or when they did our introductions, they could have said, and he's running for Bear and Muscle Bear or Bear and Cub, or you know, they could have kind of given people an idea of, hey, this is how this person identifies, in addition to, hey, here they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know I selected Bear and Cub. Those were the two options that I chose.
Yeah. You know, there was at one point, I'm not going to lie, when the choices were running out, that I couldn't help but wonder, if Matt ends up getting a title, is he going to end up being Mr. North American, you know, Hunter or Muscle Cub? And I'm like, can that happen? Do I question that, or just let it be? I mean, do we all just kind of turn our heads and pretend it's, you know, oh, it's a title. It, you know, we just hand it out, and it didn't happen, but I had that moment where I was wondering, is that a possibility?
Well, and it, I mean, because the ordering of the, what they call runner-up titles, was different this year than it was last year, too.
Yeah.
Because last year... Cody, who was Mr. North American Cub, was second place overall total with points. This year, the gentleman who won North American Cub was fifth place overall.
Yeah.
Point-wise. So there's not a lot of consistency in terms of if you're going to have runner-up titles...
Where they fall.
Where they fall.
But do they look at the top five and take a physical, you know...
Yes.
Because I'm saying, you know, the I can't remember his name, the gentleman that finished, what was it, fourth? He obviously wouldn't be a Muscle Bear.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's our final five, and we know who number one is. But at least four.
I think it's less about them assigning something based on physical characteristics. It's how you list yourself in your application.
Right. What Chess was just reading from his email makes perfect sense to me, because then it guides the judging on where they have to consider you. Now, that to me seems complicated, having been a person who helped run judging for a contest, I just realized I have to make sure all my judges understand chess is only competing for these two titles. Like, when then, and that to me would be complicated on your books or in your binders or however right. you spell it out. Like, he's only available for these two, so do not consider him for whatever the yeah. system right. stuff is or qualifications for the others.
But my question
because
is
because it's not equal across. He's not running for all five titles equally. He's only running for these two.
But my question is, if you have your final five and someone like Chez and four others all identify as, you know, if the four other people identify as one or two categories and nobody identifies as, say, a hunter or a
that could be an
issue. Cub, then... Well, then they would almost have to place someone and go by the physical appearance.
No. It's unfortunate that they had patches made, but technically you now have patches that don't go to people because there were no winners in those categories.
Yeah, so they're going to come up with five winners no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, then they would default down the line of the 17. Mm-hmm. If the top five don't... If the five on top don't take one of the categories, you just keep working down points-wise until you hit the one that falls in the category with the most points of the remaining.
That's my understanding of how it works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, which would just...
Well, and we just
get complicated as well.
Yeah,
it could maybe even people that have done it before wouldn't... I didn't know that, and I'm sure a lot of people didn't.
And yeah. it's funny because, like, Damon not having the experience with the background and tallying in points and yeah. stuff, we're, like, kind of wanting to understand more of the mechanism, yeah, but I realize... 498 some people in the room are probably like,
what the fuck,
get on with it,
yeah.
you know, they're like yeah. you know, they want their drink, they want their whatever, they yeah. want to go get their freak on, so they're just kind of like, tell us which one we can fuck or whatever.
I'm a sex fucker, I'm a fuck.
Four ones that I meet if I'm a star fucker, who do I star fuck? You and you. Oh, okay, got it.
Silver lame.
Now, don't be sad. Part 3 of our Kentucky Bear Run episodes will be coming up next in episode 305. You just have to be patient, and until then, have a good one.